It used to be scarce and hard-earned, but suddenly, family time is abundant in this era of the coronavirus and its effects on American families. For the first time since the early 19th century, many parents and kids, and even grandchildren and relatives, have experienced living under the same roof around the clock. And if past periods of emergency are any guide, this enforced togetherness can deepen and strengthen family relationships for years to come. In fact, enduring hardship together builds stronger family connections. Welcome to our special program called Generation to Generation, Passing on a Legacy of Faith to Our Children, based on the new book by Yael Eckstein, the President and CEO of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. One of the greatest gifts we can pass on to our children and our grandchildren is the legacy of faith. Today, you'll hear about the values and rituals that Yael Eckstein learned from her father, and how she and her husband are now passing these same values and faith rituals on to their four children. As our country recovers from the coronavirus pandemic, we hope this program will help you pass on a strong and living faith to your children and grandchildren. Let's listen. Here's our host, Wayne Shepherd.
Yael, we have much to talk about, and I'm so grateful to have this time on the phone with you from Israel, I might add. Now, it's evening where you are right now. If we were to meet on the street, what would the greeting be back and forth?
I love that question, and wonderful to be with you today as well, Wayne. If we were to meet in the street, then we would probably say shalom, and that's a pretty easy one that most people know.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you say how are you is manishma, and the standard answer, like in America, how you say thank God, you say Baruch Hashem.
All right. Well, see, I've learned something already.
A small conversation, yeah. But you could just get by with shalom for any context,
okay.
Any situation.
So next time in Israel, I'll remember that.
Okay.
Hey, we're going to talk about your book, Generation to Generation. It's such a good book. But I want to start with something else. Okay. Tell me about the phone call that changed your life.
Well, I kind of look at my life from before my father passed away and after my father passed away. I guess everyone has those milestones that you just never forget the moment that it happened and how everything was just different after that. So for me, the happy times are when I got married, when I moved to Israel, when I had my children. And the devastating blow was when I got the phone call out of nowhere that my father had a heart attack and died. So essentially, I, you know, spoke to my father the night before. He was healthy. He was good. He woke up. He prayed. He drank his coffee. He read the newspaper. And I got a phone call from my sister crying, just saying, Abba's dead.
Oh.
And that's a moment that I will never forget, and that really has changed my life.
Yeah. Of course, your father founded the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and you were working with your father, right, when he died?
Yeah, we were working together for 15 years. A lot of people think I was raised in the ministry, and I always say it was actually the opposite, that I never even knew what my father did for work. I knew he helped people, but he was very dedicated as a father, and he never wanted to bring his stress home from work with him. And, you know, he used to joke that he worked 30 years in order to become an overnight success. That when he started the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, which today is one of the largest faith-based organizations in the world and the largest organization in Israel, when he started this organization, he had nothing. My mom was pregnant with me. He left his very secure job, and he was offered to be dean of Columbia University in New York. And he left that in order to pursue his calling. And this calling was to bridge Christians and Jews for the first time in shared values, communication, and to focus on the 99.5% of things that Jews and Christians do agree on and can be strengthened together on, instead of that 0.5% that history has always brought us apart on.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I saw what my father did, I said, I have to be part of this. And when I saw the new immigrants coming home to Israel and kissing the ground, and when I saw the bomb shelters that were built by the fellowship for Jewish people in Israel living on the border with enemies who swear our destruction and work day and night to try to make that happen, and when I brought Holocaust survivors food and saw how their fridge was otherwise empty, God laid it on my heart. And it wasn't only the side of the humanitarian aid and the biblical prophecy coming to fruition, but the side of meeting these Christians who pray for Israel, who love Israel, who consider Israel and the Jewish people their brothers and sisters, their own, grafted onto the rich tree of Israel, the rich olive tree, that they are part of this history, part of this story. It just awakened my soul in every way possible.
Well, when your father so suddenly passed, how long before you felt the call? You felt that you needed to step in and become what he was, a CEO and president of IFCJ.
Well, I started off actually putting stamps on envelopes. I said, because at first my father said, "Oh, you're going to be a great lawyer." I said, "No, Abba, I want to work with the fellowship. I don't care what I do." He said, "Okay, so you'll put stamps on envelopes until you remember that you want to go to law school." And it really, in the beginning, it wasn't very clear that I was going to ultimately be leading this organization. But God really laid it on my heart to do whatever I can to just be part of it. And it was a blessing, definitely a blessing in disguise, but a blessing because I got to see every different part of the ministry, mm-hmm. from putting the stamps on the envelopes to the mail room to I moved up over the years to I was the head of donor relations for a while, senior vice president. And so it really gave me the opportunity to learn and study under my father until I was surprisingly brought into this role as the fellowship president and CEO.
Yeah, I'm sure your father would be pleased to know that this has happened. You say that he left you a legacy of faith and spoke a blessing over you. What was that blessing?
Well, it's interesting for anyone who's ever had any work with their parent or a loved one or family member that my father was most loving, appreciative, concerned father in the world and involved. But the second that I walked into the office, it wasn't Abba. He was the boss. Mm-hmm. He looked at everything through the eyes of what is strategically best for the fellowship. And I really admired and appreciated that in him. He was honest and he would say what he thought for good and for bad. And so really it was surprising one day when we were out together in Jerusalem and we were filming for one of the new campaigns that the fellowship had. And in the middle of a sentence, basically, totally unexpected, suddenly he spoke a blessing over me. And it was the blessing that he's been saying every Friday night on the Sabbath over me, putting his hands on my head and the same that he did to my sisters, and reciting the biblical priestly blessing, just as Jacob did to his sons when he was on his deathbed. And it was a very intense and emotional moment where it was kind of passing over both the personal of the father, of my mentor, of my children's grandfather, a man that I've loved and admired my whole life, coupled with the head of this organization who's realizing I am the future and passing that on to me with full faith and recognition and full confidence that that's what is supposed to be and that's what God wants.
So important. And I know that's why you've written your latest book, Generation to Generation. And I love the dedication to your book, with eternal gratitude to God for blessing me with the perfect parents who taught me the way I should go.
Yeah, I really believe, Wayne, that everyone's parents, no matter how hard sometimes it is, you know, it's not that I had the all flowers and rainbows, you know, growing up with my relationship with my father. It's not that we've always worked so well together. We were blessed that in those final years, we really were a great team. But we had our issues. But within the issues, what I always remembered was, thank you, Lord, that he gave me the perfect parents because they gave me exactly what I need in order to grow within myself, both the tools that I needed in order to become stronger, that are what I call revealed blessings, and also hidden blessings, things that challenged me in order that I could work on myself, that I could find my own convictions, and that I can get through those even stronger than before. And so I wouldn't say that anyone is perfect, and I purposely didn't write to my perfect parents, but the perfect parents for me.
Let me pause and say that you can learn more about Yael's book, Generation to Generation, Passing on a Legacy of Faith to Our Children, at a special website for the book, which is generationbook.org. Once again, that's generationbook.org. Easy to remember. Generation to Generation is available in print from Amazon, in audio on Amazon's Audible audiobook platform, and also in digital form on Kindle. Learn more about Yael Eckstein and the great work of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews at ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. I'd love to talk about all the work that you're doing with IFCJ, Yael, but I want to talk about this book for a moment. Why did you write this book? You wrote this book for your children, in a sense, didn't you?
Well, I felt like what my parents gave me in my spiritual life that I now pass on to my children is a gift that has been preserved from Mount Sinai all the way down to today. And in this world that's so modern and technologically savvy and always being on, there are certain values that I fear are being lost. And so what I've seen is that people of faith who even have the desire to pass it on to their children, a desire to live a very meaningful and conscious life, even for those people, they don't necessarily have the tools. And even the biblical holidays that have taught me so much and shaped me into who I am today, not everybody knows how to implement those biblical holidays, how to use those holidays to pass this faith on to the children. And so I just looked at the world today and amongst Christians and Jews at this very fundamental principle of passing on our faith to our children and how so many people don't know how to do that. And so this book is my own personal journey of how my parents used the biblical holidays, the biblical traditions, to pass on different core principles that I've taken with me in life and use not only during those holidays, but in every situation in life. From different values, the value of giving, the value of respecting other, the value of remembering that we were once slaves and now we're free, the value of realizing that everything is from God, like on the upcoming holidays, Purim, where Queen Esther went to wicked Haman, and was she not brought there for such a time as this?
Yes,
it wasn't
yes.
her, it would be someone else. That there are so many biblical lessons that are so relevant to us and passing down to our children that I just felt led to keep my father's legacy alive, not only in the family, but in the world, to write this book that I'm very proud of and feel very emotionally attached to.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's replete with scripture as well. For instance, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. That's Psalm 145, verse 4. And you have scripture throughout this book.
Well, I think everything goes back to scripture, so we could understand it in different ways. We could use the scripture in different ways. We could interpret it different ways, and we can give it over different ways. But the way that I kind of do my moral check to make sure I'm in the right, going in the right direction, is by going back to the scriptures and saying, not what do I think about this, but what does God think about this? And I realize that God's word is so much bigger and better than anything I can think.
Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, we all know it, but this fits this book perfectly, the purpose of why you write. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. That's what you're doing with your book.
That's exactly it. I've had so many Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, so many people come to me and say, how have the Jewish people survived 2,000 years of exile, and you've had persecutions, and you've had the Holocaust, and somehow this tiny people have survived? We're around 11 to 12 million Jews in the world today. That's a tiny, tiny, tiny amount. How have we survived? And the answer is by exactly what you said, Deuteronomy, carrying it with us wherever we go, on the doorposts of our house, that we put it in our hearts so that everything we do is passing it on to our children, even if we don't realize. Because what's the whole thing of children? They're always watching us. No matter what we do, our children are watching us. And so we're not only supposed to study the Bible, but we're supposed to be fully with body and soul in the study of the Bible. What's the difference? The difference is between reading words and living it. And so through this book, I try to show how we can do that difference, how we can make the difference between reading the Bible and living the Bible. And I believe when we live the Bible and we include our family, include our children, it's a natural thing that they're going to want to continue to be a link in this long and holy chain of people of faith.
We'll come back to this in just a moment, but you were speaking to us from Israel. It's a miracle place, and you get to live there. You get to help people there. What is that like? What's in your heart when it comes to your country?
Wow, there is not one day, Wayne, that I don't wake up and say, what a miracle. I never lose perspective of the fact that the Jewish people were wandering after the Second Temple was destroyed for thousands of years, being a stranger in a strange land, wherever that was, and that we always kept this hope, this prayer alive that one day we would come back to Israel. And I always think about how crazy it must have seemed that when during the Holocaust, when they were being taken to the gas chambers and they're opening up their Bible and saying, one day you'll go home to Israel. It's been thousands of years. We haven't been reunited with Israel, not with the Hebrew language. Suddenly now, as our people are being burned in gas chambers, suddenly we're going to still have this faith, hold on to it, that we're going to go back to Israel after 2,000 years. But despite the fact that it never happened to any other people, despite the fact that it logically makes no sense, the Jewish people have held on to this faith because the prophets told us, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they said, one day you'll go home, and that was enough for us. And so there's not a day that I don't wake up and say, I am living the words of the prophets. And through the Fellowships on Wings of Eagles project, I also get to witness how every single day more Jews, by loving Christians around the world, are being brought home to Israel in fulfillment of this biblical prophecy.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians are listening, and you have great respect for Christians and our love for Israel. What do you want Christians to know about Judaism?
Well, I think it says it all in Romans, that Christians are grafted onto the rich olive tree of Israel, and that it's time now for Christians to find out what is this rich olive tree of Israel that their faith says that they are grafted onto, that this isn't something of two totally separate religions, that one isn't relevant to the other. No, Israel is the spiritual roots of Christianity. Everything Jesus was trying to say to the Christians from the disciples all the way down to today is, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget your roots. And those roots go back to Israel. And as I'm getting ready now to celebrate Passover, I think of the Last Supper that was actually on Passover. And Jesus ate matzah, just as we continue to eat matzah today. And so these values, we don't just for no reason call them Judeo-Christian values. They're called Judeo-Christian values for a reason, because we are so united in so many things. And now is the time. Now we have the opportunity to really be united in these shared values, shared traditions, and to understand where we came from so we know where we're going.
You see Christians and Jews cooperate every day in Israel. Just give us a sense, a quick sense of what's being done together.
Wow, well, there's so much, from Christians making up over half of the tourists who visit Israel every year, to the Fellowship, who represents Christians around the world, being the largest philanthropic organization in Israel. And so just today, actually, I went to Holocaust Survivor's house and brought her a food box on behalf of Christians loved her.
Wow.
Last week, I was down south in Sderot. Rockets are being launched. There are the people running in for shelter in a bomb shelter that says donated with love from Christians in America. That every day, from tourism to economy to philanthropy and humanitarian aid, Christians are showing the people of Israel, we are here to bless you, and we will do what we can. And the people of Israel have opened up their hearts, are recognizing this, are appreciating this, are realizing that we have never had better friends than these Christian Zionists who stand with us.
I want to dig into your book here in just a moment, Generation to Generation. But let me say again that the new book from Yael Eckstein is called Generation to Generation, Passing on a Legacy of Faith to Our Children. We have a special website for the book. It's very simple, generationbook.org. It's available in print on Amazon and in audio form on Amazon's Audible audiobook platform, and also in digital form on Kindle. And you can learn more about Yael and the great work of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews at their website, which is ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. All right, let's talk more specifically about the book, Generation to Generation, Passing on a Legacy of Faith to Our Children. You take things like the Sabbath. Talk to me about the Sabbath, for example.
Well, there was a great rabbi who said, more than the Jews have kept the Sabbath has kept the Jews. That it has been referred to by Rabbi Heschel as an island in time. That today I see people taking these modern vacations where they pay a ton of money, that there's no cell phones, no television, only focused on meditation and prayer and connecting. And I say, that's what we've had every single Friday and Saturday from the time of creation, since the Bible was given, that the Jewish people have kept. That as the sun goes down on Friday night, we turn off our phones, turn off our email, turn off our televisions. We don't use any electricity, and we focus only on prayer, on friends, on community, on being together. And what's amazing is that we talk a lot about holiness, but what we learn from the Bible is that you can't have holiness without the mundane. You can't have light without the darkness. And that's actually why we start Shabbat, the Sabbath, on Friday night. Because in the Bible, it says there was evening, there was morning the first day. There was evening, there was morning the second day. And so we see that the day actually starts at night from the Bible, which is why we start the Sabbath, and in the Hebrew calendar, we start counting on the nighttime. And so it's from Friday night until Saturday night, and we realize you can't have one without the other. What God is showing us is, yes, I want you to love. Yes, you're commanded to love your neighbor, but you're also commanded, Ohavei Hashem Sinura, lovers of the Lord, despise evil, hate evil. So we can't have one without the other. So every single week we have what's called holiness, the Sabbath, in order that we could go back and have the mundane. And so it's something that brings the family together, that no matter what, on the Sabbath, you are together, like the Shabbat candles together, you go to synagogue together, you sing together, you eat together. And it's something that I see with my four children, shows them that I'm respecting that there's something bigger than me in the world, that I am going to, no matter what is happening, I'm going to stop, light the Sabbath candles, and focus and slow down because God says so. And I think that's a really important lesson to teach our children in this generation, especially where nothing is really respected and everything's kind of taken advantage of. Everything is a get-rich-quick type of generation. You use plastic plates, you throw it in the garbage, people get married, people get divorced. Everything is just about self-satisfying. And I think the Sabbath comes to show us, yes, if you focus on the right things, you will be satisfied. You will be happy. But first, we have to recognize it's not all about doing whatever you want. There's something bigger than us. And so the Sabbath has been the greatest blessing to me and my family. I always say I have two teenagers that still love me. So that's my own that's my own recipe.
That's pretty good
success.
Validation right there.
Exactly. That's my validating, redeeming quality.
Well, I would like to illustrate what you do in your book by reading a short section, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You say in the chapter on the Sabbath that I grew up in a very loving family. We enjoyed an abundance of love, but like many families today, we were very busy. My father woke up at 5 a.m. for prayer and Bible study and then left for work so that he could be at the office by 7 a.m. My mother started her day a bit later, but once she got us off to school, she went to work as well. My sisters and I had long days at school that taught both secular subjects and Jewish studies. In addition, my parents dedicated their time and talents to volunteering in our community. My sisters and I participated in Jewish youth groups and after-school activities. Our lives were blessedly wonderful and hectic. In a sea of busyness, Shabbat was and is the anchor of my life. And it still is, I understand.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think life has only gotten busier. Life has only gotten crazier. Life has only gotten quicker paced even than when I was growing up. It is the anchor in my life. It was when I was younger and even more so now as the world starts to move even more quickly and we have even more to do. I was just reading a quote that someone said, everybody wakes up in the morning saying, oh, I have so much to do, and going to sleep at night saying, oh, I didn't do half of what I wanted to do. That never ends. We never give ourselves a break. We never give ourselves time just to be present in the moment, to not be running anywhere, even if it's for good things, but just to be present and thankful for what we have. And that is the gift of the Sabbath.
Well, you teach so many things in this book. You teach about priorities. You teach about gratitude and giving and forgiveness and courage. It's all in this book, Generation to Generation. Yael, tell me again your heart for children, whether we be Jewish or Christian, your heart for our children.
Well, our children are the future. And as God says, that they will ultimately be what we invest in them. Teach a child young, and when he grows old, he will not depart from their ways. It is our responsibility, not only as parents, but as a community, faith-based community, to recognize that the children are the future. And the more we see disassociation, the more we see children feeling like religion isn't relevant anymore, is the more that we have to wake up and say, we're not doing something right. We might be strong in our faith, but we are losing something when it comes to passing this on to the next generation. And so my prayer within this book is that I definitely don't have all the answers, whether it's through tradition, whether it's through prayer. We have to put all of these tools that we have from the Bible that have worked for thousands of years. That's how we're still here today, Jews and Christians, and tap into all these rich gifts that God has given us to ensure that it won't be forgotten.
Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Yael Eckstein, the author of Generation to Generation, passing on a legacy of faith to our children. To learn more about this new book, go to the website generationbook.org. That's generationbook.org. You can look for the book in print on Amazon, in audiobook form at audible.com, and also in digital form on Kindle. And learn more about Yael Eckstein and the great work of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews at ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. Now, with thanks to our guest, Yael Eckstein, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for listening to Generation to Generation.